Mike Leonard joins us over the phone line, and he'll be diving into a couple topics here today. Mike, how are you doing, my friend? Good to chat with you.
Good, John. Nice to hear from you. Too bad I'm not in studio, but I'm glad to jump on.
Yeah, well, you're giving us a bonus call here today because I've got some questions and you're the guy that answers them. You're a federal defense attorney. You also help out whistleblowers as well at Leonard Trial Lawyers. How often, as a federal defense attorney, have you reached a plea deal with the government and had a judge say, nope?
Actually, never. It's never happened. And this one's kind of unusual.
We're talking about the Hunter Biden situation, if you didn't get it
earlier. The Hunter Biden situation is a little bit more complex in that you had essentially two agreements. You had one, which is a plea agreement, which is very standard, right? And under that plea agreement, he was going to plead guilty to two misdemeanor federal tax count charges. And pursuant to that agreement, the government was saying, hey, at the time of sentencing, we're going to recommend a sentence of probation. He had already paid all the fines, all the penalties, all that stuff. People very often do not serve time for doing, you know, violating the tax laws, especially when they've paid it. So that part wasn't that unusual. However, there was, you know, and this further part of that agreement, just so everyone understands, in the plea agreement, it wasn't tying the judge to any particular sentence. Most often, the judge is going to go along with the agreement of the parties, right? But it wasn't saying the judge agreed to probation. It gave her the discretion in the future at the sentencing hearing to give whatever sentence she thought appropriate, but you would expect it to be the probation that the people agreed upon.
So that part's pretty normal where you say the judge is going to make the ultimate decision, but here's what we recommend. That's all normal as of now.
Very normal. So, you know, almost literally every plea agreement. I mean, in federal court, it's unusual to have an agreement upon a particular sentence. Usually the agreement tells what the federal sentencing guidelines are. It talks about what the parties might recommend, particularly the government. And when it has a statement about the government's going to recommend, typically the judge does that.
Okay.
So like you said, John, that all that part is relatively normal.
What was not normal?
Should we go to the abnormal part now?
Yes, we should.
Okay. To make it interesting. So there was a second agreement. It's called a pretrial diversion agreement. Okay. And these also are not unusual. And a pretrial diversion agreement basically says, hey, we, the government, could charge you with this particular criminal offense. However, we're going to put that on hold. And if you satisfy the conditions set forth in this agreement for the period of time specified, which was 2 years, then it's all going to go away. You won't be charged at all. It'd be like it never happened.
And this
and
was the
second agreement.
This was the gun charge, right?
Yeah. So the second agreement, John, the diversion agreement, was just about a gun charge. Okay. So the federal gun charge where he lied on the document in getting the gun, that charge would go away in 2 years if everything was done correctly by him, namely continuing to say stay sober and not own a gun, et cetera, not commit any other offenses. So all looks good so far, except in that second agreement, which is a non-public agreement, which raised a lot of eyebrows, the diversion agreement, it had a provision that said, hey, you're going to have immunity from prosecution from all subject matters that are the subject of your plea agreement and this diversion agreement and the statement of facts that we're attaching, okay? Big problem for a lot of people because the statement of facts that's attached to the pretrial diversion agreement gets into detail about his business dealings with Ukraine, China, and Romania. So theoretically, it looked like to the judge that, hey, he's essentially getting a pass pursuant to this diversion agreement. He's not going to be prosecuted in the future for any other crimes. And so she wanted clarification of that and kind of questioned that because it's highly unusual that provision would be in another document that's not the plea agreement.
Can I pause for one second and ask and just make sure I understand
sure.
So far? Okay. So
yeah.
Tax things, totally normal. You're not going to probably, most people wouldn't go to prison for that. And you have an agreement, a plea agreement on that. Okay. The second one is a gun charge that he lied on paperwork. Okay. So we will dismiss that in 2 years if you follow all these things along with that. None of that is all that unusual, except you also can't be charged with this list of other things that have nothing to do with taxes or gun things?
Yeah, that was the big question mark. So the famous paragraph 15 of the diversion agreement essentially seems to have read that, look, you're going to get immunity from prosecution for all subject matters that relate to this agreement, which is guns, but which also relate to the statement of facts that we're attaching to this document, right? And so in the statement of facts that they are attaching, it gets into great detail about all sorts of things, including, most notably, of course, the all of his business dealings with China, with Romania, with the Ukraine. So reading that document, you'd think that he was getting a pass on every type of criminal offense that could arise from his foreign business
dealings. Why would the DOJ be okay with that?
Well, it's shocking that they would be. So here's the crazy part. The judge says, hey, DOJ, at the hearing. The hearing was just a change of plea hearing where Hunter Biden was going to enter a plea of guilty, and then they would set a sentencing hearing in the future. That's all it was going to be. But then the judge, looking at these documents very carefully, is like, hey, so are you telling me in this paragraph that's in the diversion agreement, government, that he's essentially immune from all prosecutions of any kind, you know, basically including, you know, foreign lobbying activities, all that sort of stuff? And the government says to the judge, no, he could still be prosecuted for those, which was a giant shock to the Hunter Biden team, who said, yes, we believe that means he can't be charged for those things.
So they didn't agree the two teams that had worked out this deal now have a disagreement before the judge.
Yeah, and you know, my reading of this is that when the prosecutors were put to the task and they had to admit, or they're going to have to admit that, yeah, he's not going to be prosecuted for all the other things, that would have been under, of course, as you can imagine, an enormous scrutiny. Like, why would they be doing that? So I think that it's possible that both teams agreed that that was going to be the deal. But for the questioning of it by the judge, that would have been the deal. So the government obviously, it seems to me, had agreed to that, but essentially seems like did not want to admit that to the court in open court and to the public. So it's pretty troubling on a number of levels. You know, the bottom line is going to be in 30 days, he's probably going to get back before that judge. He's likely to enter a plea agreement to the tax charges. He's likely to go ahead with his diversion agreement where the gun charge goes away in 2 years. However, the big thing that's not going to happen is he's not going to get immunity from prosecution for all the potential other charges. I think
nor
we're going to have
should
a deal.
He.
Like, yeah, I agree with
hold
you.
On,
yeah.
hold on. And I saw a lot of discourse after this. People were saying, oh, this Trump-appointed judge. I don't care who you're appointed by. I think the judge was doing the right thing and going with a fine-tooth comb through the it didn't even seem like you needed that fine-tooth of a comb to find this, but saying, wait, what the heck is this? I think that she was in her right to do that, don't you?
Totally, yeah. I don't think that, you know, these people are attacking the judge as being partisan. I don't agree at all. I mean, it would have been a normal proceeding. Everything would have been fine. He would have been able to change his plea. If you're going to have an immunity from prosecution agreement to all other crimes, that's going to be in the plea agreement. It's not going to be in a document that the public doesn't see that's filed under seal that says, gee, by the way, we're giving you immunity. She did her job. She was certainly right to do that. And the other thing that she questioned was she's saying, hey, look, you know, that should be in the plea agreement if that's really a term.
Yeah.
And do you parties have an agreement on that term? And when they told her she didn't, she's kind of like, well, what's going on here? There is no really at all, you know?
So it sounds like they were banking on her either not reading it or not questioning it in open and just letting it go through. And then no one even finds out because it's in this extra document that no one else sees.
Exactly. And of course, it seems to me so short-sighted on both the government counsel side and the defense lawyer side. Of course, that's going to come out at some point, right? I mean, the documents have already come out now. And of course, someone would find out that there's the alleged agreement that wasn't publicly put in the plea agreement, which absolves them from liability. That would have come out. And the reason it would have come out is because there are ongoing investigations about Hunter Biden. They relate to those subject matters that are in, you know, what we'll call the secret diversion agreement. And of course, in the future, in a year, 6 months, whenever, if they tried to charge him, his attorneys would be waving that document around saying, hey, look, we have immunity from prosecution. You can't charge him. You know, so it just seemed like a very short-sighted attempt to kind of shield this from the public, in my view.
I and you and I have talked about on this show that this really fine line, we talked about it with former President Trump, right? Like, you're taking the country through something. Is it worth it to charge someone? But hey, if you did these alleged crimes, it doesn't matter if you're the president or anybody else or former president, you should be charged. I've held that view, and when people counter that, well, what about Hunter Biden? I've said, well, if he did what they said he did, or if President Joe Biden is doing what some Republicans are alleging, that he should be held to that standard too, and so should Hunter Biden. This document was seemingly to circumvent that position, right?
100% true. And so it's just bizarre that you have a document which, you know, they're sort of, we're calling secret document, just was non-public. It was filed under seal. And it just seems entirely unusual. You'd have an agreement for immunity from prosecution that wasn't known to all the parties involved. And then there was a second problem with all this, in that this is kind of taking it into the weeds a little bit. But this is the reason the judge had a problem, is the diversion agreement. Normally, what happens is, you know, you fulfill the terms of it. Like I said, Biden doesn't do drugs. He doesn't own a gun for 2 years, that gun charge goes away. Not unusual at all. However, again, they put a non-standard provision in there because the attorneys for Biden were worried that if the administration changes and they get a new attorney general, that they might try to undo the agreement or subject Hunter Biden to unfair scrutiny. So it had the diversion agreement, it had the judge getting involved and making the determination in 2 years if Hunter Biden had done what he was supposed to do, which, again, is not the job of the judge. That's something that for the prosecutor's office to decide. So, again, she had a problem with the provision, which was unusual and wasn't really appropriately in there, you know, to try to bring her into the mix.
So normally, let me just make sure I understand. So the terms of did Hunter Biden fulfill the terms of this? Did he not do drugs? Did he not own a gun? In 2 years, the determination, if he didn't, this charge gets dropped. Their worry is that in July or August of 2025, there's a new administration. And normally the prosecutors would be the ones to say, yep, thumbs up, all is well. Their concern on the Hunter Biden team was that if there's a different attorney general in 2025 under a Republican president, maybe even President Trump, again in 2025, their worry was, well, we don't want the prosecutors to be the ones to determine whether he went through this correctly, because they could be tainted by the attorney general directing them to do something else. We want this exact judge or the judge to make the determination. And that's very unusual.
Exactly. Yeah. And the judge, what she said at the hearing was, I don't even know if it's constitutional.
That doesn't make any sense.
Involved in this. So, yeah, it was just highly unusual in two critical respects. Most importantly, the grant of immunity. So, rightfully so, the judge said, well, we can't enter a plea of guilty under this agreement. She also asked Hunter Biden questions like, is it your understanding that you can't be prosecuted for other crimes, meaning these things about his interactions with foreign nations? And he said, yeah, it's my understanding that I can't. So, of course, you know, he was under the understanding his attorneys were, because they told him that. And it seems to me the government also, until the judge questioned them, was probably under that same understanding.
I hate that I'm even going here, but let's do it. Prosecutors for the feds, would they have been able to get this plea deal approved by their bosses? Like, how high up do you think they would have to run this deal up the chain?
Yeah, it's a good term by you, John. It's called the chain. So, you know, you hear it in Chicago in federal court all the time when prosecutors are saying to the court, well, we're working with the chain to get approval for a particular plea or the particular language of the plea. So typically in any jurisdiction in the country and in any U.S. attorney's office, the person signing off is going to be, especially something like this, is going to be the U.S. attorney in that office. So clearly this would have been vetted by folks at the highest level within that office, and probably by people within the DOJ who have oversight over that office. So, yeah, this would have been highly scrutinized. That's why it's so strange that they did try to appear to me and to many others, kind of a sort of a bait and switch here. So it is an unusual circumstance. We're going to get a deal. It's just not going to include immunity, if you ask me. That's how this is all going to end up.
And nor should it. I mean, that's crazy for all these other potential crimes that are being investigated. Let's focus on the deals or the crimes that are, you know, that happened, that he's pleading guilty to. I just, you know, and I'm just of this belief, and I hope it's true. I know there's some weird political combinations when you have a president and you have a Department of Justice. They're appointed by the president, but they're supposed to be independent. And the Biden administration has gone out of its way to try and make sure that, to at least say, and a lot of people believe it, and I thought I was one of them, that they are completely separate from this Trump investigation and completely separate from the Hunter Biden investigation. And maybe that's still true, but it certainly, I get why people would raise a doubt now and wonder if there is true separation from the executive branch to the Department of Justice when this is a plea deal that was approved by the Department of Justice.
It's tough. I mean, of course, you know, President Biden himself, we presume, is wily enough to never have any direct communications with anybody.
Right.
Where he would say something about what to do. I mean, that would just be suicide.
That'd be insane.
It would be revealed.
Right.
I mean, it would be revealed immediately, you know. Maybe in the old Chicago days of Mayor Daley in the 50s, you might be able to do that. But I do agree that I think they're attempting, and it appears they're attempting to keep things independent. The independent prosecutor has claimed that who was a Republican appointee, that he has kept it independent. You know, we got to keep in mind that certainly additional charges against Hunter Biden arising out of his dealings with Ukraine, China, Romania, other foreign governments, there's certainly a probability that there's going to be charges arising out of those interactions. It seems like that's something that certainly could happen. So, you know, we can all mellow out because a deal on some tax charges and a gun charge, which are being handled appropriately. People don't often do time or substantial amounts of time for those types of crimes, particularly with people with his background. It just doesn't happen very often. So I do sort of rebut the idea he's getting a sweetheart deal on the tax and gun charges. I don't think he is. But if he were to get immunity and everything else, that would be a ridiculous sweetheart deal, which is just not going to happen.
I agree. All right, Mike Leonard, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on your time off.
Hey, appreciate it, John. Have a great rest of the weekend. Take care.